Well, welcome, everyone. It's good to see you all, and whether you're joining us in person or joining us online, I want to thank you for taking some time to be here. For those who are sitting here, hopefully you had a chance to grab our words for the music and some notes for the message later. If you're joining us online, those will be on the screen, and you can download the notes from our website, cbcmodesto.org. But just want to thank you for however you're joining us for being here. It's our privilege to spend some time with you. And in all that, we want to connect with you. We want to get to know you better. And so whether you're sitting here or at home, we've got a digital connect card, which is on our website, cbcmodesto.org/connect. And we promise to not be invasive or anything. And we don't want to overwhelm you, but we just want to get a little bit of information, get to know you better. And so if you can fill that out and share that with us, we appreciate that very much, because it is important, especially in this time and everything that's going on, that we connect with one another. So thank you for joining us in our time of worship. A lot of things coming up over the month of October, and so I want to make sure you're aware and able to join us in those things. But as we move forward, I want to make sure that one of the things we take part in is praying. And so I want us to pray over these things. But the first thing we've got coming up is we've got a fall fiesta. Fall Fiesta is coming up October 25th, and on that Sunday, we're going to have service a little bit later, so it's going to be at 10 a.m., so make sure you've got that on your calendar. 10 a.m., we're going to have worship, again, online or right here, but hopefully you can make it right here, because we're going to have lunch right after. We're going to have a catered Mexican lunch, and part of that time is we want to give a farewell and a send-off to Darren and Susie Udy. And so please take some time and plan to join us for that. All you need to bring is yourself, bring a healthy appetite, and some way to say thank you. And one of the things we've got for those who are in person, we've got a table over here to my left, your right, and it's got thank you cards. So if you want to write out a note for Darren and Susie, please do that. If you just want to grab it and take it home, bring it back, or fill it out right here, either one. And if you've got something for those joining us online, you can mail that into the office or just bring it with you on the 25th. But hopefully you'll join us on that Sunday. Just a great time of fellowship, a time to say thank you to Darren and Susie. So hopefully we'll see you on that Sunday. We had a great time last night at our movie night, and in a lot of ways it was kind of a dry run for Halloween, because coming up on Halloween, we're going to do another movie night, but I'll tell you, we learned some good things about what we did last night, making it even better. We're going to have goodie bags for the kids. We're going to watch Monsters, Inc., which I think is a very fitting Halloween movie, but not very scary. And so we're going to have a good time just being out here. But after the service today, for those who are here in person, if we could get maybe a max of 10 people who could take some time and fill those goodie bags, we're going to do that in the fellowship hall. So if you've got some time to just hang out for a few minutes, shouldn't take us a long time, but we want to get those ready for Halloween. So please join us, and please be praying for these events. The whole point is we want to reach our community. We want to let our community know, hey, we're still here. We care about you. We understand it's a different time, but in watching the movie, we're going to be socially distanced, handing out the candy. It's already going to be prepackaged, so people won't be grabbing into the same buckets and all of that. So we're trying to care for people as best as we can in just what is a unique time. So all those things we need to be praying about. And prayer is an absolutely essential thing to what we do for those who are following Jesus. So if you have a prayer request, please share that with us, and you can go to our prayer form, which is on our website, cbcmodesto.org/prayer, and just fill that out. Let us know if you want that kept private or put on our prayer list, and whichever method you choose, we obviously will honor that. But thank you for joining with us in prayer and letting us join you in prayer as well. And one of the things we're going to be praying over later in the service is our tithes and offerings. And so you can figure out the different ways to give and what works best for you on our website /give. But for those who are here in person, we've got a box, a giving box. You can just drop that in there. But we want to take time to remember what God has given us and give back to him. But we're going to do all that because everything is an act of worship. We're going to worship in singing. We're going to worship in our giving. We're going to worship in the word. It's all about worship. So this morning, our first song that we're going to sing is Victory in Jesus. And I hope we sing that song like we mean it. And not just that we mean it, but our face shows it. Because sometimes I think we sing victory in Jesus like we're defeated. And that doesn't make sense to me. So if you'll join us, if you're able to stand and get ready online, the words will be on the screen. But Bobby's going to lead us in prayer, and then we will go before the Lord in worship.
Before I lead us in prayer, the congregation has pulled together a bunch of stuff for you, Pastor, in appreciation. I would pull it out of this bag, but there's too much. So I'm going to hand it to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Wow. And I have a list of everything that's included in there and some things that were not because they just got put in there. So we have a gift card for Wildfire, for BJ's Restaurant, for Domino's, Taco Bell. I'm sensing a theme. Bundt cake, cards, and a gift card. So thank you so much, Pastor.
Oh, thank you very much.
Dear Lord, I thank you for every Sunday that we're able to congregate, Lord. I know that right now this is a challenging time, but I'm glad that we've found a way to adapt. And Lord, I just pray that we're a blessing to this community and that we can continue to gather and worship, Lord. In your name, amen.
Amen.
I heard an old, old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the crimson fire. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealed, how he made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the crimson flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love.
You are my joy, you are my song, you are the well, the one I'm drawing from. You are my refuge, my whole life long, where else would I go? Surely my God.
Today's tithes and offerings. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, first of all, to offer up, Lord, this praise and worship to you. We just ask that it would be pleasing to you. And Lord, we just ask that there would anything that's getting in the way of our worship, our worry, our fear, our sin, Father, that you would just forgive us. You bring peace. You bring calm. Help our hearts and minds to be still. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you. And we just ask that you would take these tithes, these offerings, and use them. Lord, help us reach our community. Help us continue to grow in wisdom and knowledge of you and share that with other people. And they would see the love and all that you have for us. We thank you, Father. Bless this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing, "Oh, Come to the Altar." There's a couple things on your words. The bridge, we're not singing. And so we just had a couple changes to that. And also for our tech crew, he's probably going to have to adjust with us a little bit.
Come the day, there's no reason to wait.
You may be seated. All right, if you have your Bible or your Bible app, and hopefully you have your notes handy or were able to download those online, we're going to be in Ephesians. Wow, that's a good book too, but no, we're going to be in Philippians. Got to remember where I am. Philippians chapter 4 is where we're going to be. And I'm trying to make sure I got something right here. A little technical thing here. All right. Philippians chapter 4 is where we're going to be. We are not far from finishing this book. And so I'm excited about what God has next for us. But Philippians 4 is where we're going to be this morning. Now, like it or not, life is full of ups and downs. And I think if you've been alive for any time, you know that. There are highs and lows, ups and downs. But one of the times I think you would imagine that should definitely seem like a high and not a low point is a wedding day. A wedding day ought to seem like a day that this is a high. This is something you're never going to forget. But unfortunately for one bride in December of 2019, it wasn't a high. It turned out to be very much a low. And you may have heard this story, but on a Saturday in December in Chino, California, there was a bride and a groom that were at their reception celebrating the high of this moment, the excitement of they've said their I do's. They've made their vows to one another, and they're celebrating. And this is a backyard reception going on, and some party crashers showed up. Two men showed up to kind of crash this party, and they were able to kind of get them going and get them away, and they continued on to celebrate. But unfortunately, these two men came back and showed up again with baseball bats. And unfortunately, in trying to protect his family, this groom sustained injuries that he did not survive. And so on a Saturday, what was a high moment for this bride celebrating being married, Sunday turned into now she is a widow. And when we think about stories and things like this, we're like, what? How is this happening? How does this even seem fair? But yet I think if you've lived any time, had any type of experience, you know that life is full of ups and downs. It is full of highs and lows. And 2020, I think, has had our fair share of lows. But what do we do with that? How do we keep going forward? How do we keep moving forward in those moments? Well, Paul's got an answer for us. Paul's going to help us to see how do we keep moving? How as a community do we make it through the ups and downs of life? So if you have your Bibles, let's take a look at Philippians chapter 4. And if you are able, please stand with me and we'll begin reading in verse 10. We'll begin reading in verse 10. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to come before you, Lord. And I just ask that you Help us, Lord. We need you. Life is full of ups and downs, and how are we going to make it through them? And we just ask that these words would just minister to our hearts this morning. Father, that you would help us to see where strength comes from. And that in the ups and downs, you are always there. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you speak to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So that was our little technical thing right there. Battery's about to die, so that would not be a good thing. Now, as we're finishing up and getting near the end of this letter that Paul's been writing to the Philippian church, it makes sense that Paul's kind of heading in the direction of making some closing remarks. He's kind of at the end, and he's got some thank yous he wants to say. And really, in verses 10 through 20, that's kind of what you've got. Paul's saying some things to the Philippian church, thank you for different things. But what's interesting is right in the middle of that, in 11 through 13, it's almost like, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then, bam, Paul just gives us what are some gold. He just gives us some things that, wow, what? It's almost like you could read it and then have to take a step back and go, what did he just say? Because it's those kind of things that you're like, wait a minute, I don't want to miss that. Because let me read this again in verse 11, what Paul says. I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. Any of you learned how to be content with whatever you have? I'm saying, I'm struggling with that. And I'm like, Paul, please tell me, how have you learned? And it's so easy, we could miss this and just keep going. Now, the thank yous, we're going to focus on that next week. We're going to get into that. But right now, this is what we need to hear. Because I think as we look at 2020, we're probably anything but content. And so I want to give you a couple of things. So if you're a note taker, you have your note sheet in front of you, or you downloaded that online, here's the first thing I want you to understand. Paul is trying to tell us that handling ups and downs requires contentment. Handling the ups and downs requires contentment. And don't you just feel like when you hear that, you go, oh, I got it. I'm good. Let's all go home. No, it's not enough. You're like, okay, that sounds good, Paul. But come on, give me some more. What does that look like? What do I do with that? And part of what we need to understand is Paul's journey. Paul is not making a flippant statement. He's like, oh yeah, you need to be content. No, there's something to this. And part of what is so key here is the one word, learned. Paul didn't just wake up one morning and go, oh, got it. I'm content now. We figured it out. No. This idea is he learned by experience. And part of that may be, okay, Lord, can we learn but skip the experience? Can I just get to it now? Can you just help me to be content? I'd like that. But see, part of what we need to understand is Paul's history and Paul's journey. And if you haven't spent time, you need to spend time in the book of Acts. Because especially Acts 9 through 16, you're going to get Paul's journey. And let me tell you, it's times of highs and lows. Ups and downs. See, I mean, think of the beginning. In Acts 9, Paul comes to know Jesus. He gets knocked down on the road to Damascus. So really, at this point, Paul's on a high because he's come to know Jesus. And he does his first sermon. And let me tell you, he rocks it. I wish I could say that was my first sermon. No, it was not like that. But Paul's first sermon, he rocks it. He's like, hey, this is a high. But then guess what? The Jews in Damascus try to kill him. So Paul's gone from a high, I'm feeling good, had a good message. Now the Jews in Damascus are trying to kill me. That's a low. If somebody's trying to kill you, that's a low. But it didn't stop there because now Paul's rejected by his old friends, all the Pharisees and those guys, because they're like, hey, now you're going this way. But now he's also being rejected by believers because they don't trust him. We know who you are. You are trying to kill us. You're trying to throw us in prison. So Paul went from one low to another low. But then as you move on in Acts chapter 9, then he meets Barnabas. Barnabas is a believer, and Barnabas says, hey, I'm going to be with this guy. And they become friends. So now he's back on a high again. He's got an up in his life. Okay, I got Barnabas, a guy he travels and goes on missionary journeys with. But as they travel together, then he's ministering. He wins a debate with Greeks. But then after he wins this debate, what do they try to do? Guess what? They want to kill him. So again, Paul's on a high. He's back down to a low again. Then as we move forward in the book of Acts in chapter 13, he's got a demon-possessed person who's following him and honestly is kind of annoying the heck out of him. And Paul just casts out the demon, and basically he becomes blind and mute. And I'm not about you all, but to realize you got that kind of power, I would think that's a high. But then guess what? He goes from that in chapter 13 to in chapter 14 in Lystra. They stone him and leave him for dead. I don't know if anybody's ever been stoned, but I would consider that a low. And it may be so low you never get up. So think about as you look at the book of Acts, Paul's journeys, ups and downs, highs and lows. So when he makes this statement, I have learned how to be content. This is not just an off-the-cuff statement. He means it. I've got this. I understand. I have learned this by experience. And the idea of being content is being contained. And what that means is the resources are within so that you do not depend on the substitutes from without. Let me say that again. The resources are within. See, to be content is to be contained. Contained within Paul, the resources he needs so that he doesn't go for the substitutes without. Because see, that's what we do. Paul just spent all this time, previous verses, talking about peace. Where do we go for peace? Where do we go for contentment? We go money, we go people, we go fame, we go everything, hoping that all the stuff without is going to satisfy us within. And Paul's saying, no, I've learned to be content because the resources that we need to follow Jesus come from within. And I like the way Warren Wiersbe says it. He said, contentment is not escape from the battle, but rather an abiding peace and confidence in the midst of the battle. See, we always want out of the battle. We always want out. And often what Jesus says, no, is I'm going to go with you through. And so Paul's trying to help us understand, handling the ups and downs, contentment is what we need. But part of what has to happen in order for us to understand contentment is this second thing. Contentment is built on the idea of providence. Contentment is built on providence. And what I mean by providence, that word comes from two Latin words. So providence comes from the word pro, which means before, and the word video, which means to see. And the idea of providence is God sees beforehand. But see, it's not that God just sees beforehand. God doesn't just have knowledge of what's going to happen beforehand. God sees to what's going to happen. See, the idea that God is moving, he's working in advance because he's going to arrange all the situations and the circumstances. So what do? They fulfill his purposes. And so to be content, there needs to be this understanding. God's in control. 2020 has not caught God off guard. God's not running around like a chicken with his head cut off, talking to the angels going, what do we do? God is organizing what to do. God has a plan in what's going on. But part of that is understanding providence that God sees beforehand. In Acts 16, as Paul was moving, we see an example of God's providence in verse 6. It says, next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. See, I love this verse because this verse is explaining two things. God is in control, but God will also lead you where to go and where not to go. It says the Holy Spirit prevented them. Because there are places in life God doesn't want us to go. And oftentimes we move ahead and then we pay for it. But in God's providence, he has a plan of where he wants us to go and what he wants us to do. And as he was guiding Paul, he's guiding you and I as well. But part of the question is, do we trust God's providence? Do we do what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us to do? Where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. See, we like to depend on our own understanding. But trust in the Lord with all your heart. And verse 6 tells us, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. God's going to show you. But the question is, will you trust God's providence? Will you trust him? And this is what Paul is talking about, because Paul in his life, he's learned by experience, he's trusted Jesus, and he's continued to move forward, to see God be faithful. But then in verse 12, Paul uses a word. It's pretty interesting. He uses the word secret. And I think when anybody says anything about a secret, we kind of lean in. Like, oh, what do you got to say? Because Paul says to us, how do you continue to move forward? How do you find this contentment? How do you understand God's providence? He says in verse 12, I have learned the secret of living in every situation. I've learned the secret of living in every situation. See, and this is where I think we lean in a little bit and go, oh, man, give it to me, Paul. Tell me. And what we need to understand is this last thing, is that Jesus is the source of contentment. Jesus is the source of contentment. See, when Paul uses this word secret, what that means is there's a knowledge that only God has known. Something that only God has known, but now has been made known. Paul now knows, what is the secret? I've learned this by experience. And I have no doubt, if you're anything like me, and probably like Paul, you've tried things to find contentment. You've searched for things that you thought would bring you that contentment. And Paul says, I've learned the secret, and I found it's Jesus. But he's not just talking about knowledge of Jesus and who Jesus is. He's talking about a relationship with Jesus. He's talking about a personal, intimate experience. And see, in the Bible, the word that is described as to know is the word yada. And it's a very personal, it's a very intimate term, to be known by God. And see, when you come into a relationship, you become fully known, because the fact is, nothing's hidden from God anyway. We fool ourselves into thinking that there are things going on in our life that God doesn't know about. And the fact is, if God didn't know about it, he's not God. But we think our secret sins, or the things we think about in our minds, or the things we feel, that God doesn't know. He does. But yet, in those moments of being fully known, he also fully loves. Because God doesn't love you because of who you are. He loves you because of who he is. He is love. But he loves us so much to say, I've got to deal with your sin. He loves us so much to also that he's going to satisfy his holiness, his justice, his righteousness. And he says, I'm going to deal with your sin. Because I have no doubt, if we sat in a court of law and we watched a judge, and that judge had somebody who was found guilty of murder and then just let him go, we'd be like, hey, that's not justice. And for God to be righteous and just, he can't look on sin and just say, ah, it's okay. No, he must punish sin. But what does he do? He sends Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you and I. He dies on the cross to not only satisfy his justice, but also to show us his love for us, to show us how far he was willing to go. And see, what Paul is saying is, I found that in coming to know Jesus, experiencing this forgiveness. Because Paul was trying to find contentment in his position as a Pharisee, in his knowledge of the law, and everything he could do, and it was never enough. And what he discovered, it's in Jesus. When I surrender to Jesus and say, I can't do this. There's nothing within me on my own that brings contentment to my life. Jesus, I need you. And see, what Jesus does then is we're given the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit resides within us. And that's where within comes contentment. And so Paul is saying Jesus is the source. And in verse 13, he says, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Christ is the one. He is the one who brings this source of contentment to my life. He is the one who gives me the strength in those moments when my stomach is empty and I'm hungry. He's the one who brings me contentment in those moments where I've got very little, but also in those moments where I have plenty and have all that I need, because I understand where it comes from. You see, the hard thing about this verse is this is a coffee cup verse if there ever was one. This is the one you want on a t-shirt and a bumper sticker. The problem is, this verse is not about chasing your dreams. And that's how we've used this verse. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So the little kid growing up who wants to be a baseball player, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's not what this verse is talking about. If you miss verses 11 and 12, you miss this. It's not for you to accomplish whatever you think you can. It's as you go through life, Jesus is going to be there. He's going to give you the strength. He will be everything you need. And to ultimately find that there is nothing in this life that is more valuable, more precious, and more satisfying than Jesus. That's what Paul is getting at with this verse. And when we grab this verse out and say, I'm going to go do anything because Christ gives me strength. No, we've missed the verse. That's not what this means. It means in Jesus we have constant security. I am safe. I am secure. I am centered. Because right now, 2020 is anything but centering. We have been knocked off. One day it seems like we're going this way. The next day we're going that way. It's up. It's down. Who knows what's happening? Guess what? Jesus knows. And he is our center and helps us stay where we need to. And as we rely on Jesus in the moments of plenty, in the moments of little, what we find, as Paul's already said, inner peace and confidence. Inner peace and confidence. Jesus, you got me. You're going to hold me up and keep me going. You see, the fact is, we would like to think that knowing Jesus means everything is an up. We never have a down. That's just not true. And see, this is where I like Jesus' honesty, because Jesus even tells us. In John 16, he's not pulling any punches. Verse 33, he says, I have told you all this. So all the things he's been saying to his disciples at this point, so that you may have peace in me. He wants us to experience peace, but he's also honest. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. Jesus, can you omit that part? We could do without that. But then he finishes, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. See, Jesus doesn't lie to us. Jesus doesn't say it's going to be all rosy and peaches. But he reminds us, peace from me. I'm going to be with you. And so to experience contentment in the ups and downs only comes through Jesus. But see, part of it is how you see yourself. Do you see yourself the way Jesus sees you? Because the beautiful thing is, when Jesus sees you, he doesn't see you by the mistakes you've made. He doesn't see you by the labels that have been put on you. And he doesn't see you in the lies that the enemy has tried to tell you about yourself. What Jesus says about you, if you know him, he says, you are who God says you are. You are a child of God. You are the apple of God's eye. You are sought after. You are more than a conqueror. You are a new creation in Christ. You are the righteousness of Christ. That's who you are. And that's not about how much you have or how little you don't have. It's about who God says you are when you come to know Jesus. And so as a community, we're going to have ups and downs. But when we lean on Jesus, we will have the strength to make it through them. So the question becomes is, who are you leaning on today? Are you leaning on Jesus? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for how great and unfailing your love is. Your love is amazing. And you were so willing to show that love that Jesus, you left heaven, came down to earth, and died on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. And Jesus, I just ask right now that you would be with us. You would help us to look at our lives and go, what are we leaning on? What are we seeking and holding on to for contentment? Is it how many cans of food are in the cabinet? How stocked the fridge is? How much money's in the bank account? How healthy everybody is? All the things that we can lean on and hold on to for contentment. But we know the cupboard can get bare, the fridge can get empty, and we can become sick. Lord, there is so much in this world that is fleeting, but Jesus, you remain constant. And so, Father, I just ask if there's anyone listening right now, that today might be that first time where they say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I've been trying everything else. And everything has left me wanting. Jesus, I need you. Forgive me of my sin. Jesus, lead my life. And Father, I pray, if that's a prayer of anyone today, Lord, that you will hear, and I know you will answer that. And Lord, there may be those who are listening today who have been walking with you, have been following you, who said, Jesus, I need you a long time ago. But they're struggling. 2020 has hit us hard. And they're saying, Jesus, I'm anxious, I'm worried, I'm trying to find peace and calm and contentment, and I can't find it. And Jesus, maybe they've taken their focus and their eyes off you. Help them to get it right with you today. So that as we keep moving forward, knowing ups and downs are coming, Jesus, you're going to be right there giving us strength. And I pray that in all that, as you give us that strength, we would have victory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My prayer at any time when we encounter the Word of God, that we would do something with it. We would make a decision and ask the question, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Jesus, what are you saying to me? What do I need to do with this? And maybe it's a matter of those prayers that I mentioned. Maybe it's a matter of the things you're listening to, you're watching, you're looking at. I'm trying to find this peace and contentment in all the wrong places. But consider what you need to do. And if you've made any type of decision, we want to encourage you in that. This is all about community. We face the ups and downs together. And that's part of where Jesus gives us strength, is we don't walk through the ups and downs alone. We walk together. And so if you've made any decision, please share that with us. We've got a form online, cbcmodesto.org/decision. And just share that with us. We want to connect with you and encourage you and help you walk through that. Because Jesus never left us alone. And we should not leave each other alone either. And maybe you just need some prayer today, something you're going through. Whatever it may be, if you need prayer, again, please let us know. We've got that prayer form online as well. The ups and downs, they're going to continue as long as you live. But you know what? Jesus is always faithful. And so let us continue to pray and follow him each day. But we're going to conclude today where we started, with victory in Jesus. See, when we realize who we've got, That's it. Victory in Jesus. Okay. Victory is not about how the ups and downs go. It's about Jesus. We've got him. So I hope you'll join us. Let's stand and let's sing and let's remember who we've got, which is Jesus.